Seminar, Entertainment Law, by examining the necessities of counseling entertainers in the areas of legitimate theater, films, and music. The general considerations for the attorney in representing creative clients, of which there are several types, must firstly begin with defining the creative clients. A, there are creative clients, there are performers, which are publicly seen, such as actors, singers, musicians, etc. Then there are creative clients that are non-performers, that are seen solely within the industry, such as choreographers, directors, producers, and cameramen. Your job is to allow and help them to perform and to create, to pursue their profession, and to enjoy the fullest commercial and artistic exploitation of their careers as possible. And those words, exploit of their complete careers, artistically and financially, is very important. To do so, I think you must, first of all, understand your role. Your role is to educate your client, constructively criticize his present and future needs, his goals, and his objectives, to carefully plan and execute a means by which these goals and objectives can be reached both financially and artistically. B, you have to insulate the artist from the pitfalls of such a career by emphasizing, enforcing, and reinforcing these goals and objectives by serving, protecting, and defending the plans and values that will ensure longevity and prosperity to your client. You have to execute and fulfill the plan by attaining new and resuscitating old contracts through contacts that you may have had. This old phrase I use to basically analyze or to characterize what I mean, it's a old thing is called plan your work and work your plan. And a lot of people, if you just take the simplicity of that statement, it means it's a hell of a lot. Just plan your work and work your plan. I think thirdly, a prerequisite for effectively coping with the roles that you will have is first of all understanding, and number two would be communication. For the most consummate understanding communication, I feel you must establish integrity and dispel what I call artist paranoia. To the artist, the artistic considerations are over and above all commercial considerations. And you cannot fall prey to the artist's paranoia for fear of non-production or unemployment. And when I say artist, I mean the entertainer, the athlete in many cases, whomever it may be that you're employing or working for in representing him in services to commercial ad, a product endorsement, a motion picture, whatever it may be. And also, I think that you must, first of all, measure your negotiating standards by your client's values. Not just his value, but his values as a person. I think you should not ever over-negotiate for your client or with your client. And remember that you are the representative and that you are the one with the expertise to negotiate the contract. So be confident and be assuring when you're doing these things. Be prepared. Study what the market offers and define that segment of the market where your client best fits. B, in understanding and communication, you must respect the new lifestyles without compromising one's own identity and personality. In communicating, you should be up on what most of the latest terms are that are used in the industry. And some of those terms are tripping out, jamming, hella, sweet, the different words that people are using when they're communicating with people in the industry at this present point in time. The basis of your relationship having been founded, and now as you begin to work the plan that you have set out for success, you must become aware of the need for relating to and working with third parties. Incorporate that understanding and sensitivity in respect and negotiating with third parties, all of whom have some dependency on the artist and further depend on the consistency, the creativity, and the professional ability of that artist for their own livelihoods. These people, by example, are booking agents, promoters, press agents, merchandisers, record producers, television shows, photographers, recording companies, music publishers, other agents, composers, lyricists, radio stations, disc jockeys, and on and on and on. And you always have to keep in mind the fact that you're still representing that artist. and not just yourself. You should define your role after you've assessed these relationships that you're going to attain for your client. Limit and define your role, and in doing so, you should utilize and select agencies, whether they're booking agencies or accounting agencies, large or small, the managers, whether they're business managers, personal managers, whether it's a stable or an individual, and unions. Which ones do you use, if you use any, do you join? SAG, AFTRA, NEGABIT, to several other agencies. Basically, all of our previous discussions have been limited to the client artist as an individual. We're going to take a quick look at the artist as a group, and it reveals that the problems of the group as an artist are infinitely more compounded. All problems are compounded by the group as an artist as well by the type of group that it may be. Jazz groups have different problems than rock groups. Classical groups, quite naturally, have even more problems. New wave, crossover, etc. The special problems you could encounter in dealing with a group as the artist is more like the ego trips. That's the most general one. And ego trips can be within a group or it can be with a group as a group. You will have problems with groupies. Old ladies, in many cases, can control the groups. Economic imbalances, and that can be who gets what in terms of dollars versus publicity, or who's worth what in terms of dollars versus publicity. And then there are other conflicts, such as ambitions, desires, goals, styles of music, styles of personalities, drugs. And there's one that always seems to, you know, make me kind of sad, and that's the superstar or star syndrome that most athletes and entertainers and artists, period, enjoy in this business. And it's a concept I call the Who Shines concept. And it caused the fragmentation and destruction of quite a few top black groups, to mention a few. Diana Ross and the Supremes, where they were once just the Supremes. And the Temptations, you know, where they were once just the Temptations, all of a sudden became, you know, Eddie Kendricks alone, David Ruffin alone, you know, Paul went alone, drugs, different things of that nature began to destroy them. One group that really kind of, you know, brought it to home to me was how you ran into a situation where Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes had a singer as fantastic as Teddy Pendergrass, basically leading the group but getting very little publicity. No one knew who the hell he was until he came out front and said, well, this is Teddy Pendergrass. Well, when Teddy Pendergrass lit up Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, we all know what happened to Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, and we all know what happened to Teddy Pendergrass. And since that time, it's kind of strange to me how, you know, Teddy Pendergrass, when he left, Harold Melvin was singing Bad Luck, Where Are All My Friends, and I Hope That We Can Get Together Soon, and Teddy's off making money. You know, Harold's still hoping he can get together. But that's a problem that you encounter in dealing with the group as an artist. Now, some of the other problems you'll have are intergroup decisions, such as who composes the music, the choice of singles that will be pushed, or even entitled for the album, the choice of producer, and then there's also the inner responsibilities that the group has to each other. Those other concerns you could encounter could be concerning the producer, the manager, the recording company, the booking agent, the band. It could be a problem, or just certain problems that are solely within members of the group. And your role, a very special role, I'll say, of an attorney representing the group as an artist is primarily in keeping the group together so that you keep the artist together. Financially, I think you have to view the group as a money-making machine, as a business. The techniques of keeping a group in business varies. You cannot afford to be subjectively involved and interpersonally involved because many times you have to sever relationships in order to protect the group as an artist. You have to sometimes sever the largest investor, the recording company, the booking agent, the group leader, all parties. And in some cases, you have to separate and sever the group from each other. Ultimately, the bottom line of your relationships with the client artist is the proper business arrangements and deals that you'll procure. In procuring deals for the clients, you should first of all consider recording companies, if it's a recording artist. And then motion picture companies, television and radio networks, independent production companies, booking agencies, ad agencies, organizations and associations of all kinds, schools and foundations, promoters, record producers, the arrangers, the writers, the composers, the executive producers, who's going to score, who's going to edit, which studio you're going to use, who's going to provide the artwork. These are all things that your artist should have some input on or into, and he could derive income from as well. When you assess label deals, you've got to be concerned about the cost of production. Is it going to be a one-album deal? Is it going to be a series of albums? Will it be through a course of years or solely 1 year? Are there going to be sequels to the movie? Is there going to be a tour provided as part of your package? What advances are going to be made monetarily? Is the contract going to be guaranteed? Will there be a pay or play clause, which means whether the album is produced, the movie is produced, will you get paid or not? Quite naturally, if it's going to be produced and there are going to be royalties, you'll make more money. So pay or play is a very serious consideration. What remedy will you have for non-release? What assessments will be provided to your client for re-recording, promotions, advertising, coupling, royalties, as well as audit rights? Personal appearances is a serious concern. If you're going to be dealing with personal appearances, you also got to deal with commercial ads, product endorsements, motion pictures, TV, and radio as well. And then also is the publishing end of it. And that would include publishing books, scripts, lyrics, records, and tapes. And also the formation of a public publishing company for the writers and other artists. You may choose to do that to benefit your client. And in doing so, you may be concerned about finding other writers to buy, sell, to represent them in their works as well. I think that you must be all of these things in addition to being a, quote, good attorney in the traditional sense of contract negotiations, draftsmanship, business planning, tax planning, and give special considerations to the short lifespan of the artist's career and its extraordinary earning power and its almost certain decline. You've got to know how to view yourself and your role, your abilities. Yeah. Are you the lawyer as an investor or a layman? How do you view yourself as a lawyer investing in a specialized field? Your specialized field, or the lawyer as a partner in an entertainment firm that handles entertainment clients, what role are you going to provide? And in setting where you stand in that role, you've got to be concerned about the enforceability of the contracts you assign, not only with your clients, but potentially with the agency you may decide to work for, the ethical considerations, such as unfair competition. You would run into problems in soliciting and recruiting. You could also have problems of libel, slander, and defamation, privacy, and such things as that. You are in this business, hopefully, to provide services and to make some money. How much are you into the business for the money, and how much are you into it for the service you're going to provide? You can't provide a good service and be well paid. Nothing wrong with that. You also have to be concerned about the types of pieces of the action deals that you could get. And you got to be concerned about the attempted bribes that come to you in this industry. They're plentiful. Also, in raising capital for speculative ventures in behalf of your client, whether theatrical ventures or not. In procuring income for your clients, you should consider the team concept. The creation of income from the entertainer's client is generally derived from several sources: negotiating recording contracts, publishing contracts, licensing agreements, motion picture and television deals, personal appearances, commercial ads, product endorsements, and such like. The team that provides these services is composed of the business manager, the attorney, if the attorney is not the business manager as well, the accountant, the personal manager, the agent, and several other people you could be concerned with. As members of the team and your relationship with these people, you've got to be very precise in what your role is going to be. as a business manager, your role in negotiations would be to determine A, the value of the deal, B, to analyze the business aspects, being the royalties, the profit participation, ownership, or a flat fee basis. C would be preserving some legal checks and balances in the deal. And D would be to evaluate the tax aspects, which is very key. And E, maintaining audit rights, which would give you a very good way of checking anything that a recording company would have a way of trying to evade paying you money that you deserve. B, you want to maximize your client's income from these sources and minimize his business expenses. Attempt to maximize his income by conducting tour analysis before as well as after each tour. Avoid union problems, particularly of hiring with musicians and stagehands and things of that nature, depending upon which industry you're going to pursue even more so. One thing I think you all must do is definitely attempt to exploit the foreign market. Understand the value and obtain as much of the maximum income as possible. There's an awful lot of exploiting of foreign markets that people in the United States are just totally unaware of. The money over there is unbelievable, really unbelievable. I think that you should also exercise some road management and some production cost control. I think if you ensure your client the royalty verifications, and you do so with calendaring his contract payments, maintaining royalty statement analysis and verification of his contracts, and can conduct audits of the recording companies, the publishing companies, the motion picture companies that you're dealing with, you're going to definitely maximize his income. You can easily do so by simply instituting an automatic system of audit and claims controls. They're very easily done. There are quite a few companies in the nation that do so. The Harry Fox Agency is one in particular. You can exercise control of his personal expenses. And this is something I call the battle of the artist versus his money. And in doing so, you have to consider the youth of the client. Consider his understanding. Does he understand? Explain things to him. Teach him. You've got to consider the rags to riches, the overnight wealth that the artist manages to attain, and the idea of it being a bottomless pit, how the money will never stop coming in. You've got to be very careful in explaining to him that, you know, the wealth will end. It's totally a misnomer. You've got to remove his guilt about having money as well. You know, most clients feel they don't deserve to make the large sums of money that they do. It sounds silly, but it's true. And you've got to be concerned about that. You've got to be able to identify the parasites and so-called friends, the hangers-on. Make sure that the artist understands, you know, as you see the image of the artist and the artist among his peers, what does he have to live up to, and explain to him what he has to live up to, if anything. Explain his lifestyle and what's expected of him. Explain to the artist the house fetish, and does he have to have a mansion? The auto fetish, a status symbol of being prosperous and having the big car, the traveling and luxury fetish that he'll have from being chauffeur driven to concerts, and must he be that way during the regular course of his life? You have to distinguish between asset acquisition and the frivolous kind of consumption that most people go through when they run into big money. And see your role as a business manager and the attorney also as a purchasing agent in buying and selling these things for your client. You've got to control the standard of living. Your approach to the entertainer's standard of living cannot be too restrictive. Too restrictive an approach causes retaliation and game playing. Too permissive an approach leads to a financial disaster. Standards should be set with one eye on the artist's world in which he lives in, not on the world of the business manager, the attorney, or yourself, if you're going to provide any of those two roles. The artist can enjoy wealth as long as he controls it and it doesn't control him. I think you Kent controlled his standard of living by setting goals and maintaining a pessimistic outlook as to the artist's future. Makes the business manager the only person in his life who's not a yes man. And by being a non-yes man, you provide the artist with a lot of safety and shelter and save him from the disasters that the others in his career are constantly, you know, promoting him with an idea that you can do it, you can make it. You know, the world never going to end, you're the hottest thing going. And that lasts about as long as a New York minute. But you got to be concerned about those things. The attorney and the business manager are the only people in the artist's business life that are not involved or should not be involved in the creative decisions by the artist. Thus, they are the only ones who can show the artist the pessimistic outlook that really is going to end in every artist's career. I think that you have to learn the art of saying no to the artist as well as for him. And I call it the secret of being reasonable. It may sound silly, but when you got a lot of money, you got a lot of people after those things that you have, there's very little way you can live the life that's expected of you and not eventually be broke, giving your money away or your services or your time. So if you can learn to teach the artist to rely on you for answers in those situations where he doesn't have to go out and tell people no, that those people can be referred to you and you can tell them no, you provide the artist with a hell of a crutch. But it also gives you the respect of that artist and knowing that he's going to basically be, you know, totally within your control and command. And you can eventually get to the point where you can tell him no and he'll act as well as they did. That's something that's very important. I think you have to control the extravagance of his personal production facilities as well, which is becoming a larger and larger problem with most artists. Your basic goal being financial security for the artist, then you ultimately have to involve yourself in financial investments. Assuming that the artist is not yet attaining financial security, then the ultimate goal of the business manager is not that security, which would be reflected by high risk and speculative ventures. But I would think that you should basically use a bottom line approach and consider tax shelters as opposed to high risk investments that will return large sums of money. The business manager can't promise there will be any taxes to pay or that there will be no taxes to pay. If he's smart, there'll be a minimum amount of taxes if you need to pay. But there's no guarantees that there won't be any. I also think that you've got to realize with the increases in net worth for the entertainer who earns so much overnight income that it's imperative that he does have some form of shelter. You have to maintain an investment, your investment integrity, and also a balanced program of tax shelters and certain compromises can be made in order to accomplish all of the things that the artist wants as well as the goals you've set for him. You've got to be concerned about the types of investments that would yield those things to the artist. Some of those things would be precious metals, oil and gas, cattle, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, raw land, improved real estate, and other things. The wise investor must consider the following factors to ensure some stability in his relationship and his investment integrity with his client. One would be the management of investments after the acquisition. Whether you deal with syndications or individual investments, are you going to pool your resources as a group to invest? Is that a good or bad idea? How does your client react to it? Third would be the liquidity of the investments or its portfolio. Does it have the rainy day ability to survive? Does it have long or short-term payoff? Are the acquisitions readily soluble? Four would be the short earning life of the young artist in the music industry demands high liquidity and longevity of his income. And so, there's no need for long-range payoffs without some short-term high write-off or shelter to cover the income he's making over the short run. You've also got to rely very heavily upon expert bookkeeping and accounting services, and that's mandatory. To acquire the best service for the artist, you've got to acknowledge the artist's need and the need for the information from the artist to determine what needs he will have in his portfolio. Seeing the artist understands is imperative as well on his terms and what it all means for the present and future long term. The proper communication between the artists and the business manager's office is essential to ensure continued involvement in your education process with the artist. You got to consider insurance. The artist must have ample coverage without overprotecting him. Selecting an agent that provides the artist personally with his needs and someone who can deal with his fears is very important. And understanding the difficulties of insuring any artist and targeting the nature of the risk is imperative, because most of these people are very transient. The high income, the drug usage, the things that an artist's life and surroundings, even if it's real or make-believe, is something that is a very serious concern to insurance companies. So you've got to understand those things and try and get him to live within a certain frame that won't allow him to fall subject to some of those problems that could exist. You've got to coordinate his life, his health, his mortgage, and his disability insurance programs and needs with the unions that provide coverages for the artists as well. You've got to be concerned about creating the creation of the client groups to obtain preferred rates. You can actually incorporate several people and get group rates, or incorporate the artists and get the group rates through your corporation, which provides you with a hell of a benefit. And you can also insure every one of the artists if the artist is a group. You've got to maintain the coverage for a constant changing scene by reevaluating his needs and constantly upgrading his coverages. The most essential relationship to enhance is probably the banking and financing relationship. You've got to work to provide a better bank relationship than the client's business standing alone would ordinarily warrant. And as much as that, you've got to be able to know the so-called creative ways of accounting in which is, you know, project a certain image for your client financially to attain the monies you may need or when you may want to have them. I would think you would also have to be concerned about being careful not to encumber the artist's future earning by protecting him so much and not allowing him to get so indebted that he can't really have the freedom to move and do what he wants to do financially. And in using the financing, there's various things you could use them for: tours, purchasing of new equipment, recording facilities. You can also do these things not only through the banks, but also through getting advances on guaranteed contracts and things of that nature. Having international banking connections is very important for the artists and the entertainers as well. It's a big asset in transferring and collecting funds from foreign sources that is immense in these days. Financing of asset acquisition is very important as well as in banking for your investments. There is no portfolio, I would assume, and I would believe, is complete without some very serious tax planning. And you as the business manager is the first person in the entertainer's life to understand the needs and foresee the problems in the tax area. And therefore, you must have the responsibility or take the responsibility of coordinating and solving those problems with the attorney if you're not going to be the attorney or business manager, whichever role you're going to assume, and work those out with the personal manager as well. Entertainers are subject to constant internal revenue and service examinations, and because of the nature of the business and the nature of the type of deductions that are normally taken, such as travel and entertainment, the wardrobe, home use for offices, and the returns are very, very carefully scrutinized. And you've got to learn in the artist's life that there are reasons why you would have to say no. And providing artists with the excuses to say no, we've gone over somewhat, but